to you. I am Travis.
I'm Jess. And nice to meet you.
Hi, nice to meet you. And this is Minnesota Medleys. Thanks for tuning us in. Of course, you don't really tune in a podcast. Tune in is more radio.
We don't tune in.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for giving us a shot. Clicking play. Or downloading. That's great too.
Yeah.
Thank you. Speaking of thanks, thank you to those of you who listened to and downloaded our last episode. Our gratitude and little stroll down memory lane of previous episodes, guests, subject matter, features. That was fun to do that. I think that's a healthy habit to get into, is to look back with thankfulness in mind. We had a very nice, kind, very talented guest this week. I say had because we've already interviewed her. We're going to be playing that for you. Ms. Candace Simar. Candace is an award-winning author. She, I'm just going to read this from her website, which is CandaceSimar.com. Where you can order her books. She's got a bunch of them. We'll get into that. I'm going to read this here directly.
Yes, from please
her.
Do read it.
Here I go. Simar is a Spur Award winner and Spur finalist for the Western Writers of America for her Abercrombie Trail series. Shelter Belts was a finalist in both the Willa Literary Awards in Historical Fiction and the Midwest Book Awards. Escape to Fort Abercrombie holds a Will Rogers Gold Medallion and a Peacemaker Award from Western Fictioneers. Goes on to say that her short stories and poetry have received awards from the Bob Dylan Creative Writing Contest, Lake Region Review, League of Minnesota Poets, National Federation of State Poetry Societies, Dust and Fire, and the Laura Awards for Short Fiction.
Yes.
She is an accomplished writer.
She is.
And if you go to her website and look at her events, full schedule.
Oh my gosh, she's busy.
She would be a really neat person to hear speak.
Yes.
She's, as she says on her website, she, how does she put it? It's a painless history lesson, the way she writes her historical fiction.
And I love how she has such a love for history. I was saying that during the interview with her.
I really feel that.
You just sense a longing to know about from where she has come. And you know, I was thinking about this a lot when we were interviewing her, that when I have had the opportunity to visit Pine Ridge Indian Reservation, that is such a Native American way of thinking too, of really focusing on from where we come. From, you know, to whom we are related, who were my ancestors and what did they do? And it's just, it's so interesting to me. And it's just really been impressed upon me by the Native American people that it's so important to know from where we come.
And she does a neat, a very nice way of honoring, those that came before.
Yes.
And our listeners will hear, of course, in the interview about where some of these characters of her books come from where they come. And we should just let you hear our interview with Candace Simar. And we are here, as promised, with Candace Simar, our author on this particular episode. Candace has a book coming out. The release is on the 19th called Sister Lumberjack. And we're going to learn more about that today. Candace, welcome and thank you for being here with us.
Thank you for asking me.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, I've been looking at your website, CandaceSimar.com, and you've got it laid out so that one can look at all of your books. I think you've got about a dozen books out right now.
Well, this is my seventh novel.
Seventh novel. Yes. Okay.
But I do have some short story books and a poetry book.
Oh, sure.
Wonderful.
Okay. Okay. And then I see you've got a blog here. I clicked on the events tab for your upcoming appearances, too.
There's a lot going on.
You are a busy lady.
Yes.
Yes.
Wow.
I'm a busy lady, but that's the fun part.
Yeah.
To go out to libraries and talk to readers.
Yes.
I love that.
Yeah, that's awfully, awfully neat. Yep, love it.
Mm-hmm.
So can you tell us when you started writing, you know, whether it was professionally or not, when you realized this is something you were going to do, and was it something for which you had a great passion right from the start?
Well, I've always been a reader.
Okay.
And I learned to read before I went to school, and I've been reading ever since. Mm-hmm.
That's so exciting.
Yes, and then I was a nurse all my life.
Ah.
And when I was in my 40s, I got the writing bug.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And the only writers I knew at the time were poets.
Mm-hmm.
And so I joined the League of Minnesota Poets.
Oh, wow. The League.
And began learning to write through poets' eyes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't claim to be a strong poet, but I learned a lot from that group, and I'm so very grateful. And then I branched off into mostly historical fiction.
Uh-huh. Yes, okay.
And that's been my passion.
Yeah.
I discovered my great-grandfather drove the stagecoach to Fort Abercrombie right at the tail end of the Civil War.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
And I was so wowed by it.
Uh-huh.
And I couldn't wait to tell my college-aged kids at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't care about their great-grandfather. They didn't care about the Civil War or the Indian War. And our son challenged me to write a book if I cared about it.
Oh, that's an interesting...
And so I took the challenge.
You
and
did.
Then I had to learn how to write a novel,
which
is... it's a process. I'm still learning.
I would imagine it's got to be.
Yes.
Very different from the prose of poetry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, different but the same in many ways.
Okay.
It's just funny how writing just goes together.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know, writing is writing.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Okay.
Did you ever do any journaling then too?
Oh man, I journal every day.
Isn't it wonderful? Mm.
It keeps me sane.
Absolutely does.
That's neat.
I have my grandmother's trunk full of my journals.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Do
you ever take time to go and just randomly pull one out and look at a date? And
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah.
I think that'd be very neat. I'm not a journaler.
Right.
I know people that are. And I think that's just a very neat concept to be able to glance back. Where was I?
You know?
That's really, really neat. So seven novels, you've got some of the short stories, some poetry. Is there an actual series of within your early works? Okay.
I wrote the Abercrombie Trail series.
Okay.
I wrote about my great-grandfather as I imagined him. Of course, I knew little to nothing about him.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But a few family stories.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm from a bunch of immigrants. My grandfather from Denmark lived upstairs when I was a little girl.
Oh,
wow.
And I have three sets of great-grandparents who homesteaded and moved into Otter Tail County in the 1800s.
Oh, okay.
So I grew up hearing the immigration stories.
I would imagine.
And I never dreamed that I could match my love of history with my Scandinavian heritage and write books. It just never entered my head.
Mm.
And here it's happening, right?
Oh, it's wonderful. And after I wrote Abercrombie Trail and rewrote it and rewrote it and rewrote it, my mentor suggested that I put it aside and write a second book.
Okay.
And so I put it aside. Well, for my first reaction was, what? A second book?
Right.
Oh, sure.
I was still struggling with the first one. But I did that. I started writing Pomme de Terre, my second book.
Yes.
My daughters were getting married about that time, and I had anxiety about that.
Oh.
And so I wrote about a young girl who married unwisely
Oh.
And ended up in the middle of the Indian War in Minnesota.
Okay.
I find it very therapeutic to write about my anxieties.
Uh-huh.
And Sister Lumberjack is certainly no different.
Okay.
Right.
It's about a widow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Who has to start over on her own.
Mm. Yes.
And also about a young man who struggles with alcoholism.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then also a nun who helped start the Benedictine hospitals across northern Minnesota.
Yep.
And it was such a fascinating story that I put these three characters together and let them walk through the pages.
Yeah.
I'm very pleased with it.
Wonderful.
It was, as I was reading it, I did notice, you know, it's kind of taking on the, here's this person's storyline. Now we're going to move on to this person. Now this person. And then we're going to go back. And you just kind of keep following them as they go.
Yes. And it's, then their stories had to intersect.
Mm-hmm.
There's the tricky bit, I would imagine, in writing, how you bring three very different lives together.
Mm-hmm.
Your books. Now you mentioned the Abercrombie Trail series. Are any of your books standalone? I should ask, Ashley, in your Abercrombie Trail series, should somebody most definitely start with the first one, Abercrombie Trail, or you know, is that really important for reading the series?
My books stand alone.
Okay. Okay.
But I also have people tell me later, I wish you would have told me to start at the beginning.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
But yes, they do stand alone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, Solvay from Sister Lumberjack was one of the minor characters in Abercrombie Trail.
Mm-hmm. Oh, interesting.
And she was such a strong character that she kept trying to take over the book.
Oh.
Which, if you're a writer, you know, cannot be.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
The minor characters cannot be too strong.
Okay. Yep. Okay.
And so I fought her back the whole book, and I never put her in the series again.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because I just knew she's such a strong character.
Yeah.
And so now she gets to shine.
Now she gets that.
Yeah, I got a book named after her and everything.
Yeah.
That's in her widowhood. Yes.
Yeah. Well, that's very, very interesting. So you are primarily writing historical fiction.
Yeah, set in Minnesota and a little bit in North Dakota.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I was going to ask if any of your characters are based on real people, but I mean, is there an equivalent of your great-grandfather
in? Oh, yes.
There is. Yeah. Okay.
Solvay is loosely based on my great-grandmother
who
came to America as an indentured servant.
Mm. Mm. Wow.
Okay.
And so that's part of her story, that she came that way. And she thought it was a good deal because she had her passage. She had her train ticket from New York. And she had a place to stay and work while she was learning the language.
Mm-hmm.
I think her indenturehood was like for 5 years. And so that was a good start in America for a young woman.
Uh-huh.
Okay, yeah.
And she worked for a Lutheran minister in the Minnetonka area, I believe.
Oh, all right.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, very interesting.
Absolutely. Yeah.
She's based on a real person.
Uh-huh.
And then the young man, my grandfather who lived upstairs, my Danish grandfather, came to America and was a lumberjack.
Oh. Okay.
And worked on a bonanza farm in the summer in the North Dakota Red River Valley. And then in the winters, he would go to the lumber camps. And that's how he got his start in America.
Okay. Wow.
And then, of course, Sister Magdalena is loosely based on Sister Amata, who was a Benedictine nun out of the Duluth Convent.
Okay.
Oh.
And she really did go from camp to camp in the winter.
Wow.
Selling hospital tickets to lumberjacks.
Can you imagine?
That just sounds rough.
Yes.
Walking on snowshoes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And the trails were not well marked.
No.
She would catch rides with supplies sometimes. But she actually sold these tickets, and the money garnered from the sale of these tickets built hospitals all across northern Minnesota. And, you know, if you know Benedictine Sisters, they do things without fanfare. You know, we don't see billboards saying, do you know that your hospital by our sisters. But I just thought that story was so fascinating. I wanted to tell it so people know.
That, I think, is such a gift to people that are that have a love for reading, but also have a love for history, to hear from an actual, basically an account that you've just chosen to embellish a bit.
Well, to honor,
but it's the honoring that way, history. I just think that is so neat. How much research time do you end up putting in with these novels?
I put in tons of research.
Sure.
And I love it.
Yeah.
People ask me all the time why I don't write nonfiction. Because I love the research so much.
Oh, sure.
But if you remember, my kids had no interest in the history at the time. They're older now. But I figured that maybe I could make a painless history lesson for people that didn't like history. Because in high school, so many times, history is a boring date to remember of people that were dead long ago. And it's not interesting. But if you put a face on that history, all of a sudden it becomes vivid.
Absolutely does.
And I think my biggest compliment as a writer came from a man in South Dakota who wrote me a letter, and he took the time to look me my address up and write me a letter saying that he won my first book, Abercrombie Trail, as a door prize. And he was so mad because he hadn't read a book in 50 years. And he said, and now I'm so mad because I've spent 3 days reading this book and I couldn't put it down. And to me, that's my biggest
wonderful,
accolade.
That
wonderful
compliment.
Yeah. And that's why I started writing it.
That's
historical.
Really, really neat. That gentleman from South Dakota, too, you probably created a reader.
Yes. And then everywhere I go, people tell me that they never liked museums, they never liked history, and now they visit all the spots in my books.
That's
really cool.
That says a lot.
That says
a lot. You've kind of
really
given
neat.
Them a bucket list platform on which to build.
Yes, they go to Fort Snelling and Fort Abercrombie, and they go to the museum in Fergus Falls and St. Cloud and New Ulm. And they're just having a great time.
That's really neat.
Well, and another thing that I love, Candace, is that you are sharing through, I saw that you did a Zoom on from pen to paper.
And
just kind of helping people understand what it takes to write and just how for you that start was poetry. Are you teaching poetry writing for people, or are you helping them to really just kind of delve into whatever genre they're feeling?
You know, I would never dare to teach poetry because I've studied enough poetry to know how intricate it is.
Yeah.
I would not be qualified to teach poetry. But I can teach fiction and maybe memoir because I've been to so many writing workshops and classes.
Yeah.
I love to learn, and I continue to study the writing craft. It's an art form. You never learn at all.
Right.
But it's good to keep learning to get better.
Yes, indeed.
So, yes, and I've been doing, I started during COVID, teaching some online Zoom classes for writers who were stuck and couldn't go anywhere. And I just finished my fourth year doing that.
Wow.
Oh, okay.
And it was so fun.
Right.
And then I'm also involved in a a summer workshop and a winter retreat.
Oh, good.
So I'm very invested in other writers, mm-hmm. and especially in learning the writing craft.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. And I see too that you've got a lot of visits at libraries and bookstores. And are these primarily to promote Sister Lumberjack, or are you kind of open to discussing previous books in the series? That is it kind of like an open forum where people can ask you questions, or how do you usually have the...
What I usually do for my events that I go to, mm-hmm. and it works for me this way, is I open by reading a poem that I've written.
Oh, great.
And then I share my research and writing, mm-hmm. and do a short little reading from... I'll be promoting Sister Lumberjack, mm-hmm. this fall, next year. Mm-hmm. And then I close with a poem, mm-hmm. another poem, mm-hmm. and then we have questions. And the questions can cover anything.
Okay. Yeah.
The whole series. And, you know, Minnesota history blends together.
Yes.
Things that happened earlier continue to affect characters in later years.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So
I like how you bookend that with the poetry. That's, pardon the pun with the bookend, yeah. but I think that's great to kind of come full circle at each of your presentations and meetings with people. I also am just curious, I know you've got something else you were pointing to, but yeah. on the screen there, but I'm wondering about, I'm curious to know, do you already have an idea for your next novel?
My next novel is half written.
Okay.
Sister Lumberjack was severely delayed by COVID.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
In fact, it was supposed to come out with part of the Thorndike conglomeration.
Okay.
And then COVID hit, so they pushed it back a year.
Mm.
And then when that year came up, the company went out of business.
Oh, golly.
You know, the division of, mm-hmm. that was doing my book went out of business. Mm-hmm. So then I had to find a new publisher who was also delayed by COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And it ended up being very late. So actually, Sister Lumberjack has been mostly written for, mm-hmm. probably about 4 years.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
So I've been working on another book, also historical fiction.
Okay.
Okay.
Set on the prairie.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
And so fun. I have so much fun writing it. That
Do you ever we'll go see. Out and write while sitting in a prairie?
Imagine it pretty well.
Right? Yeah. And that, I think, is so important that, you know, you've got such an imagination when you're learning about some of these actual people that you can kind of envision where their lives are going, you know, that you're able to springboard off of that. And I think that is such a gift. It's so intriguing to me that it can all just, we're both musicians. And oftentimes I will have a little screenplay going in my head when I'm playing a solo or a piece of music that, it just makes me think or feel something. And I kind of feel that is the way that you write, where, you know, you've studied about different people or different journeys that they may have been on, and you've just kind of allowed it to play out in your mind and you've put it to paper.
Exactly.
Some of these are very fine arts indeed. Very fine arts. So...
I took a class from the very beginning at the Iowa Summer Writing Festival.
Okay.
Google was new.
Uh-huh.
And I Googled historical fiction writing conferences, and only one came up in Iowa.
Interesting.
And so I did not know the instructor.
Uh-huh.
But when I got there, it was Diana Osana, who was Larry McMurtry's writing partner.
Okay.
And Larry McMurtry, of course, wrote Lonesome Dove and mm-hmm. Terms of Endearment, you know.
Wow.
Very prolific, wonderful writer.
Yeah.
And she taught how to research and write historical fiction the way Larry McMurtry does. Or wow. Did. He's passed away now.
Great.
And he was kind enough to blurb one of my books.
Oh, wow. Mm. That is wonderful.
I've never met him, but he did leave a answering machine message for me once. Oh, kept me nice. Thrilled for about a year.
Yeah, uh-huh. I bet.
And he also wrote me some letters. Oh, giving me guidance on my second book, Pomme de Terre.
Okay. Yes.
So I just feel so blessed.
Yes, you know, absolutely.
So many things have happened that have helped me and just moved me along.
Uh-huh. So.
Well, but you also have sought them out mm-hmm. and decided it was something you wanted to do. And it seems like you approached everything very intelligently, with some wisdom.
Absolutely.
I learned how to work on the dairy farm.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my folks had to milk those cows twice mm-hmm. a day.
Sure.
365 days a year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you have to approach, like, writing. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you have to approach music that way, too.
Mm-hmm.
You have to just keep at it or else it shows.
Right.
It's true. It's very, yes, very true.
Definitely does.
Looking forward to seeing how your sister Lumberjack, I see that the launch party is at the Brainerd Arboretum on March 17th. It's from 2 to 4, and you're doing some reading at 3.
I will be doing a reading at 2:30.
2:30, uh-huh. Okay.
But it's a come and go.
Okay.
Book launch just to celebrate.
Yeah.
I have a lot of people waiting for this book.
Yeah.
Because it's taken so long.
It's a long time coming.
Published.
Sure.
Yeah.
And the official release is on the 19th of March.
Yes.
And I'm assuming if people go to Candace Simar, they can pre-order now.
Yep.
Yes. In fact, they'll get it sooner if they... Okay. Ordered off my website.
Oh, okay.
Good.
So
good thing to note.
Yeah, highly recommend to our listeners that they do that. And check out CandaceSimart.com and look into some of the other books here, the series. And
I've won some good, mm-hmm. great awards, which is amazing to me.
Yes.
Yeah, I see that. Yes, that's very impressive. Yes.
So, somehow these books have hit a chord with readers,
mm-hmm.
I'm so grateful. I have the most wonderful readers that enjoy mm-hmm. my work, I'm just so thrilled.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful.
Yeah, I think their historical fiction has really taken on a life of its own in past years, and I will see Pinterest lists of historical fiction books to read in a year span, you know.
Yes.
It's such an interesting genre to me. And it just makes me hungry to read more historical fiction because there's so much history to me is interesting.
Yeah.
But historical fiction is also just as interesting because you're able to take some liberties and let your mind kind of wander with some of these people.
But at the same time, you are learning.
Learning.
As Candace said, you know, mm-hmm. a painless lesson.
Mm-hmm.
You know, learn some history and be entertained.
Absolutely.
It's really
it's
neat.
So great.
Yeah.
Yes. I take great care to get my research as accurate as I can.
That is wonderful. Yeah. Yeah. And as you've got that love for history, you, I can mm-hmm. tell, would be very detailed with that and accurate, as you say.
And thanks for doing the research for us.
Yes.
So we can just sit back and read.
Right. Yes. Well, we have just really appreciated this time that you have taken and excited for you in this launch that you've waited so long for.
Yeah.
And in the books that are to come, whether they are connected to the series or if they are standalone or maybe you are just going to springboard off to another journaling type of a thing or something like, who knows where the future will take you.
Who knows?
We're excited to see, though. Yeah.
Thanks so much, Candace.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Neat lady.
Very neat.
Neat books. I can see people really being drawn into the series.
Yeah.
And The, of course, Sister Lumberjack is number 5 in the Abercrombie Trail series. Yeah. And
exciting
to see whipping through those, no problem, seeing how people interconnect and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Really neat. So our thanks to Candace Simar for being our guest. And we need to say a thanks, of course, to the Blue Cottage Agency.
They've been so wonderful.
They have been so wonderful. We are sharing some news that we don't, we're not super pleased to have to share it, but we need to share it. Life throws changes at a person, and we have had to think about what we can devote ourselves to and what we need to set on back burners in our personal lives and in our podcast life. And we are having to set creating a podcast aside for a while.
For the time being.
For the time being, yeah. This isn't a goodbye. But people may notice that when we were doing anywhere from 2 to 4 podcasts per month, probably won't see anything from us for a while. We are going to be taking care of important things in life. And while this podcast is a very fun thing for us and has been eye-opening, and we've met some really interesting people.
Oh, my goodness.
And learned things about our wonderful state. It is, regardless, something that's somewhat extracurricular. Mm. And sometimes just focus has to be shifted.
Yeah.
So we're going to step away from Minnesota Medleys for a while. Our Facebook page, we're not shutting it down or anything. We may even occasionally post to it just for the fun of it. There are a
Minnesota
lot of
Minnesota will continue to happen.
Minnesota is going to, Minnesota is not,
can't
not,
shut that off.
Yep. The Minnesota keeps on turning.
Yeah.
We follow a lot of businesses from taverns to resorts to authors to restaurants. And I mean, I think we probably, I don't even know offhand how many we follow. It's a few hundred.
Good golly, yeah.
So if we're not liking your pages and commenting and that kind of thing, we still love you. We still support you. But our focus is set elsewhere.
Yep.
Temporarily. And we can't wait to pick it up again, to come back stronger, to be back to asking for input and ideas from our listeners, and getting back to visiting more wonderful Minnesota towns and resorts, talking to more authors. We've been in touch with the folks over at Blue Cottage Agency, and they're just so supportive.
Yeah.
And saying they'll be here when we come back. And I just so appreciate that attitude of when you come back. Not if. Yeah, we will. And because it has been a lot of fun.
It has and been so much fun.
My dear love of my life, Jess, thank you for doing this with me. And I'm sorry that we're having to take this break, because you are such a sociable person. You love talking to people. You love listening to people.
Love making connections.
Yeah, you're very good at it. Thank you for doing this with me.
I have enjoyed every minute.
And we will look forward to
Except
doing it
again. Except that minute that I deleted an episode.
That, well, that took way less than a minute. You did that like with one click. It's like, oh, well, that's gone.
Well, whoops.
Yep. Thank you, Eileen and Eric and Winona for coming on back.
Dear people.
Thank you to so many people, whether it be Katie from Blue Finn and Eric up at Cragen's. And I can't, there's too many.
Yeah.
Well, we went over them on our last episode.
We did.
Please do listen to that episode so you can know who we're appreciating. And finally, and definitely but not least, thank you to those who have been listening, who have been supporting us, who have downloaded episodes.
Mm-hmm. It means more than you know.
It really, really means a lot. And if we're out and about in our state when time allows, we may be looking you up. You know who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much, everyone.
Thank you, everybody.
And we will see you next soon.
Time.